creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
Today on Culture Click, we visit with Brian Verding from Engage Winona. Engage Winona recently facilitated a community meeting on the possible future uses for Central Elementary School here in Winona. I'm Bill Stoneberg with Brian Verding on Culture Click. How you doing today, Brian?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show. Back in December, Engage Winona facilitated a community meeting at City Hall on possible future uses for Central Elementary School, which was sold last fall, and there's another forum being held later this month. So, Brian, it sounds like the discussion was sort of a brainstorming session on what to do with the property. How did it go overall?
Really well, yeah. So this is part of an engagement process for imagining the reuse both for Central Elementary and for Madison Elementary, which the school district recently sold. And so the city is working with some potential developers and wanted to create a process for neighbors and the community members to really have their voice heard about what their concerns might be for new uses, whether it's housing or a commercial development or something else, and also get a chance to hear from neighbors and the community members about what's really important to them about these spaces. They're huge spaces. They're big blocks right in the middle of the city, and they have great playgrounds and open spaces, and people have been using them as members of the public for a long time. So there were community meetings about helping neighbors and community residents just sort of imagine and talk about, you know, what would you like to see the city block used for? What would you like to be, if you could speak directly to a developer, what would you tell them that are your biggest concerns, your biggest needs, your biggest ideas for the future of the property?
Okay. What were some of the more popular ideas that came out of this?
Yeah, there were a lot. We were really pleased with the overall engagement process. You know, we had more than 60 people at the Madison meeting, more than 50 folks at the Central meeting, 60, 70, 80 folks filling out surveys for each one and coming back, which was great, and primarily neighbors. So it was really great to have that engagement at a neighborhood level.
Cool.
By far the biggest ideas and needs for reuse for both Madison and Central were around kind of preserving the public nature of the property. It was a public elementary school. It has playgrounds, it has open space, it has meeting rooms. And so folks were using these buildings both for school during the day, but also for polling places and Boy Scout meetings and playgrounds for the kids after school and during the weekends. And, you know, boy, what a great place when all the kids in the neighborhood are tearing around the house and you get to kick them out across the street to go play in the playground. And so really heavily and highly used properties. And so the biggest concern from the neighbor's perspective was, if this becomes a private development, do we lose that?
Right.
And will we not have anywhere to send our kids to for a playground? Will we not have anywhere to have a polling place in our backyard the next time elections come?
Wow. And I also heard, you know, about affordable housing, rooftop gardens, stuff, things like that. I'm just curious, how would the rooftop gardens operate? Would that be kind of a neighborhood garden, public garden, or...
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, so, you know, the process is very open-ended.
Right.
And so we really encourage people to dream big and imagine creatively.
Okay.
And then as the process goes forward, it becomes very much a conversation among the developer, among the city, and among some of the residents. And I think a lot of those conversations revolved around, could there be creative public-private partnerships in which the developer, you know, has the building and they're making the money they need to make by providing housing or other kind of uses? But then there's public access. So maybe there's public access that through kind of a city partnership to green space or public space or public access to a rooftop, or maybe it's a neighborhood only or a building only garden. But sort of figuring out what these collaborations would look like so that more folks could be involved, including that idea of public use.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And maybe they could leave the playground, something like that, you know, so there's still that space for the neighborhood to use?
Yeah. And that's a real big hope, I think, both for Central and for Madison. There's a lot of space there, and it's really, really well used and heavily used. And and so the hope that there is sort of some public value and public use preserved, even as the private development is created and sort of serves the needs that it needs to for the developer.
Okay. And you mentioned dreaming big. Were there any ideas that really stood out to you that were kind of really innovative or interesting like that?
Yeah, in Central in particular, we were impressed, really impressed at these really fully fleshed out ideas for like multi-generational use of the property. And so folks were, when I say fully fleshed out, it wasn't, clearly folks had done some work. They had done some research. They had, these are these really like long paragraph style pieces, nice. Especially in the survey, people talking about combining a senior center, which we know Winona's looking for a new home, with multi-generational housing, with daycares or pre-Ks. So we have multiple generations of folks sort of interacting in these shared spaces. So maybe it's housing for young professionals, a daycare for young kids, and a senior center all in one building.
Oh, wow.
So really creative ideas like that, you know, and then other creative ideas around like artist space, creative space, finding ways of combining multiple uses into one property that, that really serve a lot of different demographics and a lot of different people.
Okay, cool. And you had mentioned Madison Elementary a little bit ago, which is kind of going through a similar process. How is that process coming along and how's it turning out?
Yeah, they're both at their early stages. So, you know, the school district sold these buildings in the middle of last year. And there are sort of contracts in place for developers to purchase both of these buildings. And then from there, it's a fairly lengthy process for the developer to sort of imagine what it is that they want to do.
Sure.
And then contrast that against what neighbors are looking for, what the community is looking for. And so probably over the next maybe 3 to 6 months, will be a process where the developers are working closely with the city and pitching different ideas for uses. And then the work that we did has become a part of a reuse study report at the city level that's really influential to how developers create plans. And so as developers are creating plans for these properties, they'll be working with this reuse study, which includes all the voices and the ideas and the concerns and the needs that folks expressed.
Oh, cool. Okay. So, Are there a lot of similarities between the, like about the concerns and the uses of both properties, or are they kind of different?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think the similarities were the desire for public use.
Okay.
And so a big fear, especially from folks in the neighborhood, to look at a property that was once a whole block that was open to the public. And having this fear that could all of this be privatized? You know, this place where it was once open to us, to our families, to our children, no longer is. And I think there's some really great feedback. And I think some openness on the parts of the developers to look at creative solutions for that.
That's good. And
so that was very much a similarity, was this fear about a public space becoming private. The differences were that the buildings are at sort of very different stages and they have very different stories. And so Madison closed last year, very recently. And that was a really difficult and long decision-making process. And there was a lot of conflict around that and a lot of pain and from parents and families who have now had their kids in different schools. And so the transition of this school into a discussion about what it could be used for in the future was a really difficult one with Madison. There's a lot of folks in Winona who would really just like it to continue to be a school.
Right.
And Central was different because that closed in 2012. The decision was 2010.
Oh, okay.
It closed in 2012. And so the emotions around Central, I think, are at a different place. And so it was used by the school for Miller Mentoring and for early childhood and for some other things for 6 years. And I think the discussion, that it created a very different energy around the discussion.
Right. I'm sure it did. And then, like I mentioned before, there's another forum on Central Elementary, and that's January 22nd. What can we expect from that? What's the kind of the purpose moving forward with that session?
Yeah, so that's the second community meeting on Central. So the first one we held was in December. And that was a very kind of wide-ranging open meeting where we invited folks to give ideas, give their concerns, and give their needs. Engage went on and collected everything we heard from that meeting and put it into a report saying, here's what we heard you say. Here are the most prominent things we heard. Here are all the lists of concerns that we heard. And so this meeting is really to bring that report back to the people who participated and say, did we get it right?
Oh, nice.
You know, these are your voices in here, and we're saying that you said this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did we understand you correctly?
Right.
And if not, you know, help us revise this. Help us. So it's a really collaborative process with the participants to make sure that this report, which has a lot of influence at the city level, it has a lot of influence in what a developer decides to do, really truly reflects the voices of the people who participated in the process.
Great. So if people still have ideas, they can come forward to this meeting and maybe get those ideas out there?
Yep. Yeah, that's a good question. Yep. So it'll be a place for people who already gave ideas to look at the report and say, yes, you captured them, or no, you didn't, so make sure to include them. And there will also be space for people who may not have heard about the process or weren't able to participate to come to that too and have space to say, to give their ideas and input.
Oh, great. Fantastic. And then there was an online survey. Is that ongoing or is that kind of done with?
So the first online survey is closed.
Okay.
So there's an opportunity for now for folks to read the draft report that's been created and then give comments on that. So our suggestion would be for somebody who maybe hasn't participated in this process but is listening to this and thinks, boy, I really want to have my say on this.
Right.
To go to Engage Winona's website. We have a page called Elementary Reuse, and it's right from the homepage. And to check out the report on Central, and then to see, you know, if it already reflects the ideas they have, just to let us know that, then there's a comment form. So they can say, yeah, this report really reflects what I would have had to say.
Okay.
Or there's also an opportunity to say, you know, I read the report and I was really thinking about this thing I didn't see in there. So here's what I think my ideas are, my concerns are.
So it's not too late if you're listening and you want to, you know, get your input in there. That's great. I guess what is the best way for people to get involved? Just to show up to this meeting and, you know?
Yep. Yeah, there are a couple of key ways. Yeah, one would be to come. So the meeting is on Tuesday, January 22nd from 5 to about 6 p.m. And that's at City Hall at 4th and Lafayette downtown. And that would be the really key way to come at this point in the process. If folks aren't able to attend that, there's an opportunity to sign up for an email communication list and some other info on the Engage Winona website at engagewinona.org. So if people aren't able to come, they can get signed up, and then they'll get future communication from the city about the process. Because the process is still very young, so the developers haven't publicly announced what they plan to do with the properties. The city hasn't finalized any of the zoning or the permitting. So there's going to be all kinds of meetings and all kinds of opportunities for folks to have their voices heard going forward.
Okay. So if people go to the Engage Winona website, then they can find out more about the process?
Yep. More about the process, more about the project. And then there's an opportunity to sign up for an email list that's just specifically for the project. So if, say, you know, somebody lives two blocks from Central and all they really want is an email when there's going to be a city meeting about Central, they can sign up for that and then they would get those notifications.
Okay, cool. And that's engagewinona.org?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I got it right. So then, you know, speaking of Engage Winona, I know you have some other things coming up too. You're partnering with Winona State to create a community changemaker lab. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, we're really excited about this. This is a pilot project collaboration with the social work department. And the social work students have a long and really successful history in doing community change work. And so they work often with marginalized populations and collaborate with them on projects that really kind of improve their communities, improve their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so Engage Winona's partnership there is really directly connecting students with organizations and populations and then collaborating on that work. And so over the past couple semesters with social work students, we've done projects with, we've created a video with the Winona ALC students to break down stereotypes about what it means to be an ALC student. They've helped the Women's Resource Center do a bunch of community listening sessions so they can figure out some new programs. They worked with Hiawatha Valley Mental Health to talk with the folks in their residential care facilities about the needs they had as they were preparing this major grant to develop new housing and new programs for them.
Cool.
They worked with the treatment court of Winona County, helping recovering addicts tell their stories to the community as they're becoming productive members of the community.
Oh, wow.
So they've done all this great work. And so the idea was bringing that under this umbrella of the Community Changemaker Lab. And so that's really social work students and other university students going out and doing community engaged work that benefits their learning, it benefits the community, mm-hmm. and it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, that's great. That really gets the students out there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And participating in the community, and it gives them a great experience, I would assume, you know?
It does, yeah. It's that real hands-on engaged learning that we know that a lot of students are really hungry for. You know, it's a chance to take all the good stuff that they learn about in the classroom and put it to work in the real world.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, and I'm like you said, it benefits the community as a whole as well. What do you think the major benefit is for the community, you know, other than, because I know it benefits the students in many ways, you know, but the community as a whole, how does it impact us specifically?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's Winona State is so rich with resources. They're rich with talented students who can do really good work. They're rich mm-hmm. with the knowledge of how to do really good work. And this takes all of those resources and puts them to work really effectively in the community space. And so in the nonprofit community in particular, Winona, that serves marginalized populations, young, mm-hmm. old, disabled, recovering addicts, all kinds of folks, are always in need of more resources, more okay. bodies on the ground, more people to deliver programming.
Sure.
The need is always almost always greater than a nonprofit's ability to serve. And so the value of having students, especially trained students, mm-hmm. Who are juniors and seniors and have done a lot of kind of preparatory work and this is going to be their career.
Sure.
To really go out and do that field work. Mm-hmm. You know, I think in a lot of nonprofit cases, it's like having a trained social work student is like the difference between delivering a whole new program.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's been really effective. It's like a capacity building. It's like having more staff in a lot
sure,
of ways for
sure.
the nonprofits.
So the students really do make a big impact then.
They do.
Yeah.
Yep. And the nice thing about this program is that the challenge with the student work is that they're, you know, they're there for 4 months and then they graduate, or mm-hmm. they're there for 4 months and they leave. And the design of this program is to create a consistent flow of students coming into these
okay.
environments to make it a lot easier for nonprofits and folks to really expect that consistency and being able to build programs around it.
Right. Do you think this could help students stay in the area then in their field?
That's our sincere hope.
Because that would
yeah.
be, yeah.
Yep, and the idea of a success story beginning of students having a really fantastic real-world experience mm-hmm. With an organization that's in the field that they're looking to get into, whether it's
right.
whether it's schools or nonprofits or business or whatever it is that they're serving. Finding a great career is about building the right relationships,
mm-hmm.
and if students are able to do that in a really effective way while they're still in college, that creates what a great connection point and transition point to hopefully stay right here and continue doing their good work right in Winona.
Right, which would be great. Are there other, what other programs might we see in the future that they haven't touched on?
We're still developing programs for this
okay.
spring, but a couple things they'll be involved in that we're really excited about. So we're doing some work with the city of Winona in the first half of 2019 with a neighborhood, with this idea of getting a full neighborhood together and helping them sort of imagine what their future neighborhood could look like
okay.
and asking them the questions about, you know, what do you have that you really like in your neighborhood? What would you like to change to have more of? And dream big, what would your neighborhood look like? Is it,
right.
Is it social relationships? Is it cookouts? Is it a new business down the street? Is it a bigger park? You know, what kind of things would you really like to have here? And so they're going to be doing a lot of that work around, when we say bringing a full neighborhood together, truly meaning the full neighborhood and this, you know, these diverse populations of folks living in the same space. And then leading them through the process of here's imagining change and
mm-hmm.
then getting to create it. And the cool thing about the city partnership is that the city has so many resources
right.
That they can then put right to some of these ideas.
Okay.
So that's a big one that the students are working on. And another potential project that we may be assisting with is a lot of community discussions around the future of the County Justice Center and the jail.
Okay.
Which is, so the county is facing a deadline. Their jail is old. It's outdated. They're facing a deadline to close it or find a new solution in a couple
oh,
of
wow.
years. And I really want to do some work in the community to find out what the need is, what the values are, what kind of programming would be most valuable,
mm-hmm.
And including working with jail populations, folks who have been in jail, folks who have formerly been in jail, and discovering some of the best things that a Justice Center can offer, which is around this idea of sort of personal transformation.
Right,
And then doing that work to kind of help help the community sort of imagine what this new Justice Center could really look like. They're grappling with these big questions of like, how do we spend this amount of money for this jail? And, and what does it look like? And where does it go? And, you know, and really big questions.
So would the students be involved in the process of kind of researching and figuring out what the options are?
They're more so involved in the boots on the ground engagement pieces.
Okay.
So, you know, the engagement owners work, we never claim to be experts at some of these specific things, you know, so there are folks who design jails and folks who are do that consulting work. We're kind of the experts in our own community, you know, and so our projects are always around, what do folks really think about this? Who isn't being asked these questions? Who could we really get together in an intentional way to imagine the future for these things, whether it's a neighborhood or a jail or a learning center or wherever we're doing work.
Okay. And then, like you mentioned, the neighborhood programs. So students will be working with the community itself, right? Not just organizations?
Right. Directly with the community.
Right.
Yeah. And led by the community. You know, that all of this work, too, is that by design is very much collaborative work. So instead of students or engagement owner or somebody coming into a new environment and saying, boy, we've got a great idea for you and here's how it's going to go. Just saying, we want to hear from you what's working, what isn't, and what you'd like to change. And then let's work together and see how we can figure out how to do that together.
Cool. Very cool. I like the Changemaker Lab idea.
Excited about it. Yep.
Sounds like a really cool idea. Are there any other projects that Engage Winona has coming up that we should know about?
I think the big one, the Changemaker Lab and the elementary reuse and the neighborhood project.
Sounds like you guys are busy.
We are. I think, you know, the exciting thing about Engage Winona not quite even being 2 years old is that we've been so pleased to have played a role in what we've seen as this really significant cultural shift in Winona, which is as folks are creating change, they have new ideas for programs, organizations want to build new buildings, want to do all this work, that their first instinct is not to just create a plan and tell people, but to actually go out and ask them and say, let's do this work together.
Right.
So that's really exciting. And to that effort to help folks continue doing that work, we'll also in the first half of 2019 be launching a series of community engagement workshops and trainings.
Okay.
And those will be on all kinds of topics, everything from, you know, I want to get engaged and I don't know how, can you help me?
Okay, cool.
You know, to maybe folks who are engaged, you know, topics around like, you know, how to really understand what your passions are. So you're good at saying yes to the things you care about and good at saying no to the things you don't, so you don't burn out. You know, some help with volunteer groups who we know encounter all kinds of barriers to, you have a good idea, you get some people together, things go really well for a while, and then you run into some challenges. And sort of helping groups figure out, like, how do you run into challenges when you don't have the money you thought you could have, or when that person who was really leading the charge just got a new job and left town, or that project just hits these barriers that, you know.
Sure.
So we're going to be doing those kind of really kind of inclusive, accessible first step trainings, especially kind of targeted at folks who are in that space of like, I'd like to be more engaged. I have some ideas about what I'm interested in. I don't really know where to start.
Right.
And that seems kind of overwhelming and hard, so I'm just not going to bother. That we really want to connect with those kind of folks.
Right. That sounds like ongoing work for you guys.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, as always, we want to let people know how they can contact or get engaged with Engage Winona. And so how can they go about doing so? And how can people learn about these events and projects that you guys host?
Yeah, the best way is online.
Okay.
So engagewinona.org lists all of our projects, opportunities to get engaged, surveys we're putting out to have folks' voices heard. And then our Facebook page at facebook.com/engagewinona.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really active there.
There's a lot of good info.
So we stay really present and active in both of those sites. You know, we have a downtown space at 119 East 3rd Street that we share with another fantastic cultural organization called Art of the Rural here in Winona.
Mm-hmm.
People can stop by and visit. That's always an option. But to really, keep up with us online, and then just to reach out to me personally too. I think that's an invitation we always offer, is especially to that question of like, I want to get engaged and I don't know how.
Right.
I have this good idea. I don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. I have this group with this cool plan and now we're stuck. All of these kind of things. That's really what Engage Winona is here to help
right.
with. And so for folks to, we have events and public events and things, but also if that stuff doesn't feel like it fits with people, for them just to reach out personally and ask questions, we're always happy to help.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I've been talking with Brian Verding from Engage Winona, and if you want to get engaged in your community, go to engagewinona.org or follow them on Facebook, which is what I do. It's, there's a lot of great information on there. Thanks so much for being with us today, Brian.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for helping us get the word out about all the good work folks are doing.
For sure. And we'll check back with you on the Central and Madison mm-hmm. Projects and see how those are going.
Yeah, sounds good.
So thank you. Thanks again to Brian Verding from Engage Winona for joining us today on Culture Click. For more information on Engage Winona, go to engagewinona.org. I'm Bill Stoneberg, and you've been listening to Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.